In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
The trouble with our liberal friends is not that they're ignorant. It's just that they know so much that isn't so.
Welcome to Red State Talent Program. I'm your host, Primo Mondoni. My co-host, Ken Brown, will not be joining me today. He's on vacation with one of his daughters. Please visit the show's website at redstatetownhall.com. While you're there, be sure to like us on both Facebook and Twitter. Wish to contact us, the email address is Primo, P-R-E-M-O, at redstatetownhall.com. Our show is broadcast here on Red State Talk Radio, America's premier grassroots conservative internet talk radio network. Show's also syndicated through iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Podomatic, TalkStream Live, Player.fm, Roku, and at least a dozen other websites. You can listen to the station using their Android, iPhone, and BlackBerry apps. Visit the station's website, redstatetalkradio.com, to download the appropriate app for your smartphone. If you don't have a smartphone, you can listen using any phone on the station's 24/7 listener line provided by TalkStream Live by dialing the following. Studio A, 605-562-4209, and for Studio B, 518-712-0045. Before we start the show, let's give a shout-out to our AM, FM, and digital affiliates. WDDQ, FM 92.1, Adel, Georgia. WSFB, 1490 AM, Talk 97.7 FM, Quitman, Georgia. WJNW, AM 1650, Hermitage, Tennessee. Talk Radio, AM 1620, KTFL, Gilbert, Arizona. WMQL, Radio FM 105.5, Brevard, North Carolina. Kaufman County Talk Radio, AM 1680, KCTR, Terrell, Texas. Tax Pro Radio, Gainesville, Georgia. WCNR, Digital, West Virginia. And K98Talk.com, another internet radio station that's carrying our stuff. Okay, that's it. I guess we need to go ahead and get started here. Let's see here. Let me get my stuff here together. Plenty to talk about. First of all, we'll talk about the debate here in a little bit, but I wanted to address something that's come up since the debate. You guys have probably heard this story about Donald Trump. I think he was in New Hampshire doing a town hall meeting. And the very first question he got was someone who spoke up. And before he asked his question, he prefaced that one of our problems in this country was that Muslims were a problem in this country, and that our president was a Muslim, and that I think he said something about him not being a citizen and all that sort of thing, which Donald Trump kind of dismissed. Say, "Oh, do we really need this question? You know, to start off with that sort of a comment." But he went into the question. The guy actually the real basis of his question was not really about that. It was about these Islamic jihadist training camps that we have going on in this country that apparently, I guess the FBI is not too interested with, because if they were, they would shut these things down. I guess they think they're just, I don't know what the hell they think that these people are doing, but the video I've seen of these places and the weaponry they have makes you wonder, you know. But anyway, but back to the original story here about Trump. He has been lambasted by both the left and the right about the fact that he did not correct this individual and state that the president was not a Muslim, that he was in fact a Christian, et cetera, et cetera. Similar to what John McCain did in the 2008 campaign. For about a day, Trump didn't say anything about it, but he did finally respond on Twitter. And because he was getting so much pressure from everyone to apologize and to correct the record and so forth. For example, even Chris Christie chimed in and said that he would have never let that slide. He would have corrected the person immediately, blah, 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 and all that kind of thing. Well, Donald Trump in his tweet basically said it wasn't his job to defend the president, that if someone said something that negative about himself, about Trump, and Obama were doing the speaking, that Obama, he said, you think Obama's going to come to my aid and defend me? He said, I don't think so. And Trump has a point. Obama wouldn't do that. B, it's not Trump's, really, his place to, it's not his job to defend the president of the United States. I don't think it is. And to be honest with you, I was willing to give this president benefit of the doubt on his religion when he was first came onto the scene, even though there are lots of indications about his past that would make you wonder about whether or not he was in fact a Christian or not. But to be honest, my co-host Ken, who's not here today, of course, but myself have come to the conclusion, based on the things that this president has said and the actions that he's taken, especially toward Israel, and especially when it comes to his foreign policy, we pretty much have come to the conclusion that he's not a Christian either. And that may, you may think I'm terrible, and maybe that's controversial, but that's just the way I feel. I think at the very least, I think you'd have to say, even if you believe he's Christian, at the very least, you have to say he has a soft spot in his heart for Islam and for Muslims, based on his actions and his statements alone. I mean, I'm not going to go into it. You can Google this stuff yourself, but just look at some of the things that he said about the Muslim faith over the years. I mean, some of them are ridiculous. They're on the verge of being ridiculous on their very face, because they don't represent reality at all. And so that being said, this guy in the audience, now whether or not he truly meant what he said, or whether or not he did that just to stir up trouble, or whether or not he was a plant, now, let's be honest, people, it could be that he was a plant from the left, that someone put him in the audience to pose that question just to create a story when really there is none. Because during the questioning, Obama, although he didn't correct the guy, he did not agree with it. He never said that, yeah, you're right, the president's a Muslim, he's not a Christian. He never said that. He never made that comparison. He basically ignored what he said on the front end of his question and answered his question about the training camps here in the country, which I don't really see a problem with that. This whole idea that Republicans, or any candidate for that matter, has to jump up and defend the president anytime he's insulted in any way, shape, or form is ridiculous. If you've actually read some of the readings from our founding fathers when they were first forming this nation, the stuff they said about one another during their arguments would make this seem very, very trivial. I mean, they were pretty rough in their language about each other. Yet they still forged the nation. So, you know, John McCain handled it the way he handled it in 2008. He was trying to be above it all. But I'm not so sure he really should have done that. I mean, this whole idea that you have to defend your opponent and so forth, I just don't agree with that kind of stuff. I mean, people, it's politics. It's rough and tumble. It's rock and roll. It is. It's not for the weak. If you can't handle a little bit of criticism and you can't handle being called a name or, you know, that sort of thing, you probably don't need to be in politics. That's just, you know. And here's the other thing, too. So what if the guy called the president a Muslim? I thought being a Muslim was a great thing. At least according to this president. Why should he be ashamed of that? Why should anybody be upset that he was called a Muslim? Right? I mean, he wasn't called a Nazi. Right? He was called a Muslim, and supposedly being a Muslim is a perfectly good thing. And it, you know, it is for a lot of people. But, so why is that a bad thing? I mean, if you think about it, what are they so upset about? I don't know. Just wanted to kind of throw that out there before we really got really started here. We'll talk about the debate here just a little bit. Got a couple other stories I want to, and trust me, we're going to talk a lot about it. Want to bring to your attention, Hillary and the DNC are facing additional pressure to add debates. Right now, the Democrat Party, Democrat National Convention, has only scheduled 6 debates. The first one will be in October. I think October 3rd. I don't have it right in front of me, but I'm pretty sure that's correct. October 3rd, and it will be hosted by CNN. And I'm not sure what the criteria for the debate is, but at this point, the only two people that are polling at all or Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders. Martin O'Malley is way down in the polling. But I'm guessing they'll have him in the debates. If they don't have him in the debates, he's totally screwed because he has very low name recognition, and the only way he's going to get traction is to do well in the debates and gather some support. And if he's not in the debates, there's no way in the world he's going to be able to. I mean, he's struggling already, but there's no way in the world he's going to be able to gain enough support to gain enough donations to keep his campaign running. It just won't happen. Matter of fact, this weekend, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who is the leader of the DNC, was giving a speech at a Democratic convention, I think, in South Carolina. Again, I just don't remember. I read a lot of stuff, so forgive me. But she was trying to speak, and she was getting chants from the crowd. More debates, more debates, more debates, and people holding up signs. More debates, more debates. Because they're not happy that they're going to only have 6 debates. The Republicans have scheduled 11 debates, I think, if I'm not mistaken. Well, you know what? I'll take that back. They had cut it down to, I think, maybe 9. I think they had 11 before, and I think they cut this one down to 9. But anyway, the Democrat Party is definitely having fewer debates. And the theory is that they're doing that in order to protect Hillary Clinton from having having problems getting the nomination, because really the Clinton machine and all the Democratic operatives are all pushing for Hillary and have been since the beginning. But because of her email scandals and because of the Clinton Foundation scandals, people are starting to get nervous. And now, far be it from me to give the Democrat Party advice, but if I were them, I would open up the debate schedule. And the reason I would do that is you need to get other candidates' attention and views out to people just in case Hillary does, in fact, implode and she has to quit her campaign. And I've been saying for several weeks now that the classic put a fork in her, she's done, is appropriate for Hillary Clinton. I don't think she survives what's going on. Because, first of all, not sure how she's going to do in the debate against Bernie Sanders. I think Bernie Sanders can hold his own. So if they have the debate in October and Bernie Sanders is declared, quote, the winner, then what happens? But that's not even the real issue. The real issue is in October, later in October, after that first debate, guess what? She's scheduled to be in front of Trey Gowdy and the Benghazi subcommittee. Now, I don't have to tell you, we've talked about this before, Trey Gowdy is a tough federal prosecutor. Now, he's not a federal prosecutor in this particular instance. He's just chairman of the committee. But when he was a South Carolina prosecutor before he got into Congress, he never lost a case. Now, let that sink in for a minute. He never lost a case. He was a winner every single time. This guy is good. And this guy I don't think he will tolerate Hillary Clinton's evasiveness. I think he will nail her to the wall. And here's the thing. He's had all this time to gather all this information. And they've had people that they've had in committee, in secret, where their testimony's not been public. So in theory, Hillary Clinton doesn't know what these people said when they came before Trey Gowdy. Now, I'm sure people on the Democratic side of the aisle have leaked some of this stuff to Hillary to give her a heads up. That's just me being practical. But what I'm getting at, there may be things that Trey Gowdy knows, maybe even on his own, that he can use to trip up Hillary Clinton. And then she'll be in a position where she's lied to the subcommittee. Which lying for Hillary Clinton, let's be honest, that's not a problem, at least in terms of her own morality. She has no problem with lying. She does it all the time. She's lied to us about Benghazi. She's lied to us about her email server. She's lied to us about the Clinton Foundation. She's lied to us about just about any issue you can think of. So, we should be surprised. The only problem is that I hope to God this time that when she testifies, they put her under oath. You know, the last time she testified about Benghazi, the famous quote, at this point, what difference does it make? You know, that sort of thing. When she kind of lost her cool there, she was not under oath. A lot of people don't realize that. They never put her under oath because she was the former Secretary of State, and people thought, well, that would be uncalled for. You don't need to do that. Well, guess what? Trey Gowdy's in charge of this subcommittee, and I can just about 99.9% guarantee you he's going to have her take the oath that she will tell the truth and nothing but the truth kind of thing. Because then she'll be on record as by perjuring herself when he catches her in her lies. Could be wrong, but I don't think so. I don't think so. Okay, a couple other stories that we'll talk about before the debate, before the break. And then, like I said, we will talk about the debate after the break, probably. Have you seen this story about Obama is now going to appoint the first openly gay man to be Army Secretary? Now, I'm not going to go too deep into this because I don't think we really need to. But I've said all along that the Army is not something that you... It does not exist to enforce social experiments on. That's not what the Army's purpose is. This whole idea of all this... Really, think about it. This is nothing but the gay agenda on steroids with Obama. For whatever reason, he has an affinity for these folks, and that's fine. You know, I don't have anything against people who are gay. But at the same time, I'm not so sure this is a good idea. Now, this guy may be qualified. I really don't know. He may be. He may be. He might be good at his job. Could be. But I'm just wondering what kind of a social message it sends to do this kind of stuff. And really, what is the point? I don't get it. Anyway. Oh, by the way, you know, Trump, going back to the Trump issue about the questioner asking or stating that Obama was a Muslim, et cetera, and was not a U.S. citizen. Hillary Clinton, of course, got in front of the microphone and said that she was appalled at this statement. And it was, you know, it was horrible and blah, 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 blah. She went on and on and on. What I find amazing is the mainstream, the lamestream media, when she made those accusations and made those, and she was showing her shock and dismay and so forth. Why no one brought up the fact that the entire birther movement was started by the Hillary Clinton campaign back in 2008. She was the birth mother of the birther movement. Now, the campaign, you know, of course, denied that, but it's pretty well documented. It came from her camp. The whole idea that he wasn't born in the United States. Also, they also leaked a photograph of Barack Obama being in Africa and being dressed up in Muslim garb, trying to leave the impression that, yes, he is a Muslim. He's not a Christian. Blah, 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 blah. That was done by her campaign, too. And that's pretty well documented, too. But the mainstream media doesn't mention that, and they don't discuss that when stuff like this comes up. Now, why do you think that is? I mean, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to realize they're protecting her. Pure and simple. Anyway, I'm just amazed at the length that the lamestream and mainstream media will go to protect this woman. But you know what? Here's the thing. Those days are coming to a close pretty fast because there's so much stuff about Benghazi, the emails, especially, now think about this. If it's true that they're going to be able to retrieve all the emails that she deleted, There's been some rumors about that by credible sources in the media for the last 2 or 3 weeks that they feel like they either have them already or will have them soon, and that stuff will be turned over to the Benghazi subcommittee, and if they can sort through those 30,000 emails that she deleted quickly enough, she could be real trouble if she gets in front of Trey Gowdy. Because think about this. Does anyone on the planet think that the only things that she deleted were emails about yoga classes and Chelsea's wedding? Does anyone believe that story? And even if you do believe it, why on earth would you feel like you had to delete those? The smart thing to have done would be turn over all her emails, and she could have said, now there's about 30,000 emails there that are nothing but yoga classes and Chelsea's wedding. But here they are. You can sort through them if you want. But there's nothing. And if she had done that, she had been crystal clear on this thing. She would be in like Flint. There'd be no problem. But no, she went ahead on her own and deleted those things. And I'm serious. If you're just not thinking. If you think that's all that's in those emails, there's I'm sure there's something else. I just don't believe that. I was born, but I wasn't born yesterday, as the old saying goes. I just don't believe that at all. Well, look, it's time for us to get a break. When we come back, we're going to definitely talk about, and pretty much all we're going to talk about, is the debate the past week, and what's been going on since the debate, and how that's been affecting the race. So, this is the Red State Town Hall program. I'm your host, Primo Mondoni. Thanks for listening, and thanks for sticking with us. We'll be back in just a few moments.
Hi, this is Jeff Carlisi from the band 38 Special. The mainstream media has failed the American people once again. Internet radio networks like Red State Talk Radio will not fail you. Tune in 24 hours a day. Studios A and B. Great conservative programming around the clock. Red State Talk Radio, the dominant force in internet conservative talk radio.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be the Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work from home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom36.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom36.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 36.com. Go to freedom36.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom36.com.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 800-400-1756 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 800-400-1756 to take your call now. Call 800-400-1756. That's 800-400-1756. Again, 800-400-1756.
If you're diabetic, this message could change your life. Is your blood sugar out of control even when you do all the right stuff? Are you afraid of diabetic blindness and the risk of amputation, as well as all those other side effects? Well, you should be. Is there anything that could help manage your blood sugar? Nobedes is a natural supplement that may quickly and dramatically lower your blood sugar.
My name is Bob Corder. I've been using Nobedes for about 3.5 to 4 months now. And in the first 3 months, I've actually lowered my blood sugars from 500s down to 139, and then it dropped to 88 to 93.
My name is Kirsten. I'm a type 1 diabetic, and while taking Novitis, my blood sugar levels dropped from 295 to 115 in just one day.
The FDA hasn't evaluated these statements, and Novitis isn't intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. But for many, it's helped drop their blood sugar. So if you've been evaluated with high blood sugar, don't delay. Evaluate Novitis now. Call 800-554-7159 and get two bottles free. Just cover shipping and handling. Call 800-554-7159. That's 800-554-7159.
Hi, this is Primo Mondoni, General Manager for Red State Talk Radio. We've been bringing you the very best in grassroots, common sense conservative talk radio for over 5 years now. One thing I've learned in those 5 years is that internet radio is a tough, competitive business. And if the station is going to advance that next level, it's going to require a significant increase in investments in both personnel and infrastructure. Our listenership grew by 42% in 2014, and with our ever-expanding listener base, it's time that we begin the move to a more listener-supported model provide the station's future financial needs. Therefore, we're asking our loyal listeners to consider making a donation to help us reach our goals. Monthly subscriptions begin at only $2 per month. So please, help us restore conservative principles to our republic. Visit our website and become a Red State Talk Radio supporter today.
Red State Talk Radio. The Talk Monster.
The path to restoring our republic was laid down by our founding fathers. The principles of freedom, liberty, personal responsibility, and limited government are conservative ideals we will never abandon.
America is listening.
Grassroots, common sense, conservative talk radio. It's on the internet. Tune in now. Red State Talk Radio, featuring some of the most popular internet talk show hosts in America today. Are you listening? RedStateTalkRadio.com.
Okay, welcome back. Thanks for sticking with us. Let's talk about this debate. First of all, I think it was really obvious what CNN was trying to do. They even announced ahead of time that they were going to present candidates with statements that other candidates had said and try to stimulate debate. So that kind of a spin was what was given even before debate was happened. And the candidates knew this, and so I think they went into this debate already with an adversarial opinion of the whole thing. So CNN wanted a food fight, and for the most part, they got it. Now, I have to admit that in some ways this sort of approach was a turn off, but the reality is that it was pretty fun for the most part, at least for me. I kind of enjoyed it. Let's preface that by saying, good God, the thing was too long. I understood it was only supposed to be a 2-hour debate, and it wound up being 3. And I think the reason that happened was poor management on CNN's part, especially, I guess, Jake Tapper. CNN knew this was going to be a highly rated program, so they were selling their ads, generating some revenue, of course, which they should do. But I think because of Jake Tapper not managing the situation all that well, I think at some point they were sitting there looking at the time and going, oh my God, we've got all these commercials we've sold and we've got to play them. Well, you know, you're being breach of contract. And of course, you're not going to be able to cash a check if you don't run the commercial. That's for damn sure. So, now you know that someone in the control booth was probably screaming in his ear, go to break. Go to break. For God's sake, go to break. But apparently he just ignored that and just kept right on and let them go on, because I think it was entertaining enough that maybe Tapper himself got kind of wrapped up in the whole thing. Could be. I don't know. Might be the last time he gets to to moderate a debate like that. They may have someone else next time. I don't know. But the thing was, like I say, it was about 3 hours, and it was long. I sat through the whole thing, though. I have to admit, I did enjoy it. But I wish it had been a little shorter. But, you know, if it had been a little shorter, we'd have missed out on a lot of stuff. Let's just be honest. Who won the debate? Well, according to a poll, I think on Newsmax, overwhelmingly, Donald Trump won the debate. But I'm not so sure that, of course, that's not a scientific poll. It's just people on the internet. And right now, Donald Trump has the highest poll number. So, you know, he probably had the highest number of people that went on the internet as soon as they found out about this online poll. And they all started voting for Trump. And who knows whether or not they had the thing set up to prevent you from voting more than once. I don't know. I don't know the specifics on the poll. Number two was Carly Fiorina. She wound up, Donald Trump was way out ahead, I think around 40-50%, something like that. And Fiorina got 20%, and Cruz did, I think, fairly well. And everybody else was way down there. But again, some of that stuff may have to do with popularity. But I think for anyone who watched the entire debate, I don't think there's any question who, quote, won the debate, who had the best moments of the debate. And that was, in fact, Carly Fiorina. She dominated. And one of the reasons she dominated was she was clear, concise. Let's face it, the woman is a good communicator. You know, Reagan was always referred to as a great communicator. Well, let me tell you something. This woman, now she's not Reagan. Don't get me wrong, but she can communicate, and she could do so in a thoughtful manner. And something she has in common with like Cruz and Rubio, just to give you an example. She knows her subject, and you're not going to surprise her or Cruz or Rubio very, very often with gotcha questions. Because they know their subject matter, and they're just clear thinkers, I think. Now, before the debate, who were my top three candidates in terms of who I preferred? Before the debate, Cruz, Carly Fiorina, and Ben Carson, based on what they'd done thus far and based on the first debate. Who were my top three after the debate? A little bit of a shakeup. Number one, for now, for me, is Carla Fiorina. Number two, Ted Cruz. Number three, Marco Rubio. Now, why did she unseat Cruz? For one simple reason. She didn't let me down. She took the bull by the horns. She interjected when she had to. She interrupted when she had to and got her point across and made sure she was heard from. She was not going to let this opportunity slip by her. I admire that. Cruz let me down. Now, I still think Cruz is the most conservative candidate on the stage. And if I had my druthers, so to speak, Cruz would be the GOP nominee. But he let me down because he did not do what Carly Fiorina did. He did not interject himself. He did not interrupt when necessary to get his point across. When they were talking about, for example, when they were talking about climate change, everybody was kind of going along with the whole climate change idea. And at one point, Tapper or someone mentioned that something about that the other people were not climate change deniers. And basically Cruz tried to pipe up, said, well, I am. and then they go, well, we'll get to you later. You know, and he let them shut him down. And he shouldn't have done that. Now, maybe Cruz is just too nice of a guy. I don't know. But I think that was a moment where I thought, man, don't let him get away with that. That kind of ticked me off a little bit that he let that slide. But maybe he knows better than I do. Now, I don't know. I could run for dog catcher and get elected. So don't listen to me, but I don't know about you guys, but I was just disappointed that he was not more forceful on some things, and that in particular. So I think by any objective opinion, Fiorina won the night. I'll tell you somebody who didn't really do themselves any good, and that was Rand Paul, Scott Walker, John Kasich. Christie actually did okay, considering, you know, where he's at. He did all right. And like I say, Cruz did okay when he actually was called upon, was allowed to speak. But I think Rubio was the strongest of the quote third tier. And the reason Cruz is number two on my list right now is simply because I still think he's the best conservative on the stage. Is Carly as conservative as Cruz? Probably not. I really don't think she is. But right now, boy, I tell you what, she's looking good. And let's just face it, there's one advantage that Carly Fiorina has that nobody else on the stage has. And that is, if she's the nominee, this whole idea of the war on women goes right down the damn tubes. And the whole idea that, and the whole premise that if you're a guy, you can't criticize Hillary Clinton because you look like you're beating up on the girl kind of thing. If Carly Fiorina is the nominee and her and Hillary are in a heated debate, you can't say that she's beating up on the girl. She's just beating up on Hillary. It'd be woman versus woman. And so that takes away about half of the sympathy that Hillary Clinton would get right there. And I'm telling you what, Fiorina is such a strong candidate, at least I think she's becoming that, she could literally be a person who could get some of those low-information voters who would generally probably go for Hillary just because she's a woman. I think they would take a very hard look at Fiorina. Especially if they watch a debate between Hillary and Fiorina, I have no doubt that Carly Fiorina would clean Hillary's clock. And I think you could get a lot of crossover votes right there. Now, that's not to say that other candidates couldn't do the same thing. They could if they present a really good argument and stuff. But for the people who are just going to vote for president based on gender, Fiorina would solve that issue pretty much, right? So, since the debate, what's been happening? Well, Fiorina, Politico says that Fiorina is doing a victory lap, which is a good way to put it, I guess. She has gotten requests for speaking engagements like out the wazoo since the debate. Also, her poll numbers have gone up. Matter of fact, there's a new poll that just came out this weekend. It says that Carly Fiorina is leading Donald Trump, repeat, Donald Trump, in New Hampshire. Now, I know New Hampshire's a small state, but it's one of the first states that, you know, we have the primaries with. It's an important state because of that. You got Iowa, New Hampshire, then South Carolina. Those are the three biggies. This is the first time that I know of that since Donald Trump has entered the race that anybody has beaten Donald Trump in any poll. Now, she's not beating him nationally. This is just a poll about New Hampshire. But she's leading Trump in New Hampshire. And that's not by a great margin. But the fact that she's even there with him is amazing. It was a small sample. I think it's plus minus four. And she has a slight edge over Trump. But again, the fact that she's even close to Donald Trump, when in the national polls, let's face it, Fiorina before the debate was polling in single digits. Donald Trump was up over 30%, 32, I think, the last time I heard. And the fact that she's doing that well in New Hampshire, that's pretty good. And I know for a fact she has done well in Iowa. Now, Iowa is a different situation because it's not a normal election because they do all this caucusing stuff that they do in Iowa, which is a weird way of doing it. But that's just the way people in Iowa do it. And from what I hear, is every time she gives a speech in Iowa, she's gaining support like crazy. So she might surprise and do pretty well in Iowa. She doesn't have to win Iowa, but if she does second or third, you know, that would be a big thing. And if she's leading in New Hampshire and could win in New Hampshire, I mean, think about that. Now all of a sudden you start wondering, well, hey, I wonder how she can do in South Carolina. I don't know if she's been in South Carolina very often. Probably not as much as Iowa and New Hampshire because they're the first two. But she will obviously spend more time there as we get closer. The first primary will be in sometime in February for Iowa. So that's the first time that this stuff really means anything. Let's be honest now. We're in the middle of September, and the polls are the polls and the polls and the polls. And what I'm getting at, it's still early. Some people like to try to make it sound like it's a done deal. Well, that's not really true. If you look back at presidential politics the past several years, and, well, you can go back 10, 20, 30 years, the person who was leading at this point in the race rarely winds up getting the nomination. Just a fact. So, by the way, too, she's raising money like crazy since the debate. People are starting to put their money where their mouth is, so to speak, because they feel like, hey, I'll donate to her campaign. She looks like she might be the real thing. And that's what it takes, you know. I can guarantee you that I would be willing to bet that Rand Paul, Scott Walker, John Kasich are not doing all that well after their debate performance in terms of raising additional money. Now, Jeb Bush, even though I think he did okay during the debate, but I don't think he did anything that made him really stand out. But he probably didn't hurt himself either. But I think Jeb Bush is stuck in the middle of the pack, and he's not going anywhere unless something major happens. And it needs to happen soon, or he's going to be in trouble. So, but the thing is, he has tons of money. Because he was the supposed front runner at the beginning of all this, and because he has the Bush machine behind him, he was able to gather a lot of donations. He's far ahead of anyone else. Another thing I heard too, I saw a report where Ted Cruz has done well since the debate. And one of the reasons was that people felt like he did pretty good. And he did. But secondly, in Texas, for example, now that Rick Perry dropped out of the race, you know, a short time ago, some of that money that was being held back, maybe that might have gone to Rick Perry from Texas donors, are now going to go to Ted Cruz. Let's face it, if you live in Texas and you want to donate to a Republican, you just eliminated one of the people you were considering. Now, Rick Perry wasn't doing a whole lot in the way of donations anyway. But I think a lot of people are sitting there holding their money and deciding who are they going to. They really were kind of torn whether or not to give to Perry or to give to Cruz. Now that Perry's out, there's no. If you live in Texas and you want to donate, like I say, there's not a choice. It's Ted Cruz. So that should help Ted Cruz's chances, I would think, going forward. By the way, there's an article on redstatetalkradio.com. From the Daily Caller, 5 takeaways from the second GOP debate. You might want to take a chance to read that if you get a chance. Some good information there. There's also several other articles about Carly since the debate that you may want to check out. Just go to redstatetalkradio.com and you'll see the articles. The first 4 articles always list at the top, and if you click down below that, there's a place to click for more articles, and there's, trust me, there's tons of stuff. I never delete anything there's stuff on there that goes way, 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 way back. So what happens now? Well, the next debate's not going to be a Republican debate. It's going to be the Democrat debate, not October 3rd. So, how's that going to work out? Hillary versus Bernie Sanders. Maybe Martin O'Malley. I mean, I don't know. That will be interesting. Secondly, and by the way, that's going to be hosted by CNN also. So who knows what that's going to be like. The other thing, too, about Hillary, another thing that happens for her in October, is her debate is one issue, which, by the way, the Democrat National Committee, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, was giving a speech this weekend, and she was chided over and over again with chants of more debates, more debates, more debates, and there were signs all over the place wanting more debates, because as of now, there are only six Democratic debates scheduled, and a lot of people in the party think that's way too few. And Martin O'Malley, governor of, I guess, Maryland, he's been critical of that. And let's face it, he's so low in the numbers in the polls that hopefully he'll make the debate stage for his sake, because if he doesn't, I don't think he has a tough uphill climb anyway. But if he doesn't do well in the debate and to try to garner some support and some money, he's done for. The only serious challenger thus far has been Bernie Sanders. And right now, he's ahead of Hillary in the polls, I think, in both Iowa and New Hampshire. Pretty sure that's right. But, I mean, he has strong, enthusiastic crowds, large crowds. Hillary does not. She did this weekend. She was speaking somewhere, and I saw a picture on the web, and it was like an auditorium or gymnasium or something, and it was half full. You know, that's not the case when Bernie Sanders shows up. But something else that happens in October for Hillary that everyone needs to be aware of. Guess what? She's scheduled to testify in front of the Benghazi committee, chaired by Trey Gowdy. Now, the last time, a lot of people don't know this, but the last time that Hillary testified about Benghazi, when she had her meltdown moment, at this point, what matter does it make? Whatever. What difference does it make? I think she said. She was not under oath. Well, I can guarantee you, Trey Gowdy's going to make sure she's under oath this time. And think about this. Trey Gowdy, as a federal prosecutor, never lost a case. Repeat, never lost a case. The guy knows what he's doing. He's good. God only knows what he already has that he has on Hillary that Hillary doesn't know he has. And so Hillary could wind up perjuring herself big time during these hearings. And Trey Gowdy will ream her a new one. So literally when she testifies in front of the Benghazi committee with Trey Gowdy chairing that thing, I'm gonna pop some popcorn and watch that thing. That will be fun. That'll be fun. Okay, that pretty much wraps it up. Boy, the time flies. Thank you for listening to the Red State Town Hall program. That's it. We're out of here. We'll see you next time.